this morning. Ruth chapter number 3. And let's begin our reading, please, in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do.' And he said unto her, she said unto her, 'All that thou sayest unto me, I will do.'" Let's pray a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for the good spirit we already filled in your house today. Now, Father, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, you would cleanse me of sin. You'd empty me of self. Fill us with thy spirit. Help us to preach those things that you put in our heart this week. And may it be edification and grace to the hearers today. Save that one that may not know you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing, and you may be seated. I appreciate you standing while we read the word of the Lord together and prayed. We've been in the book of Ruth since the last Sunday morning of August. We started preaching in this book. I think this is message number 12 or 13. I think it might be number 12 that we have been in the book of Ruth. I think if I've counted right. And this is the first message we've gotten to chapter number 3. And we find we could outline the chapters in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth is in a foreign land. In Ruth chapter number 2, she is in the field laboring. In Ruth chapter number 3, she is at his feet lingering. But in Ruth chapter number 4, she is in the family and she's loving it. Amen. And that's a little outline of the chapters of the book of Ruth. And here's my thought, and I'm going to just jump right into it and preach and get out of the way today. But when you come to Ruth chapter number 3, we find there's an interruption. Naomi looks at her and says, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" You see, Ruth has now been laboring in the field of Boaz for some 10 to 12 weeks. The Word of God teaches us that when they come back into Bethlehem, it was the beginning of barley harvest. But you'll notice the last verse of chapter number 2 says that she gleaned into the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest. So she not only stayed through the barley harvest, she stayed through the wheat harvest. And that is about 10 to 12 weeks. She gleaned during these two harvests. And she has known Boaz. She's got acquainted with Boaz. She sat at his table. She has drank water from his well. She has had conversations with him. She knows him. She's not where she used to be. In other words, she knows who Boaz is, and she has come to love him, and he has accepted her. So if you allow me to put it in our thoughts today, she got saved in chapter 2. When she met Boaz and she didn't go back to Moab and she began to labor in his field, she's saved. And she's enjoying the blessings of being in Boaz's family. But she's not satisfied, because in chapter 3, Naomi looks at her and says, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Can I say this? Once you're saved, that is not all there is to it. There is more to being a child of God than just not going to hell. Now, can I say this? That is the greatest blessing of being saved. It's the fact that I do not have to go to hell. But may I remind you that there is more to the Christian life than that. It is a life of fellowship. It is a life of... I got a relationship with Christ, but oh, how I desire to have that fellowship with Christ on a daily basis. Now watch this now. She knows about laboring in the field. Oh, she knows all about that. She's learned that. But here's what she's going to have to learn in chapter number 3. She's going to have to learn to lay at his feet for a while. She's got the Martha mentality down. Martha, she's always busy around that house. She got that down in chapter 2, but in chapter 3, she's got to be like Mary. And she's got to learn how to get at Boaz's feet. She's got to learn how to have fellowship with him and communion with him. Can I say this? I've seen a lot of people, they get saved by the grace of God. They're on their way to heaven. Some, they're workers. And they'll do things in the church. And they'll labor in the church. And they're laboring the work of God. But you know what? They've never taken that next step. And they have that fellowship and to commune with God. We talked about it in Sunday school. That area of prayer and communion with God. And can I say this? It's wonderful. wonderful to labor in the field. It's wonderful to be out there working for Him. But honey, there's something more to it when you get to come into His presence and lay at His feet and hear His words and have one-on-one time with Jesus. Now, it's interesting to note here, Naomi in this chapter is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Watch this now. Naomi knows what Ruth needs. And she knows that Boaz has it. And so she's the intercessor. She is the mediator. Watch it now. She is the go-between. She goes to Naomi and says, Boaz has a whole lot more to offer you than what you've been getting in the field. Do you see it? And you need to go. You qualify for it. Now you need to go get it. And can I say this? When I got saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit moved on the inside of me. And I am sealed to the day of redemption. You know what He does? He comes by and says, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. But God has a whole lot more to offer you than what you're enjoying right now. And so He instigates that desire in my heart. I'm preaching on a thought today. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. I want to get closer. Draw me nearer. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. And I want to. She's in His field. She's in His presence, but she's not satisfied with that. She's been, watch this now, she's been around Boaz when there was a crowd. There's a lot of people around and she's been in Boaz's presence, a lot like church. Boy, that's one thing. Boy, I love when I come to church and I'm around the saints of God and God begins to show up and manifest His presence. But Brother Sanford, that don't help me on Monday. I got to have something when the singers are gone, when the preacher is gone, when I'm not at the church. I've got to have something to help me on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And that's where that personal fellowship with Christ comes in. Does that make sense where I'm going here? You three or four, five, 26, 30 things here, and I'll be done. Number one, in verse 1 and 2, I find the desire that summons. Watch this. See, drawing nigh to God or getting closer to God is not something that just happens overnight. There has to be a desire put in your heart. I love the verse, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double minded. I love that. But that doesn't happen overnight. A desire has to be birthed in your heart to want to draw closer to God. You have to deal with your apathy. You got to deal with that apathy where you think you're okay in your spiritual life. Or you think you're okay in your spiritual walk with Christ. Can I just go ahead and bust everybody's bubble? Ain't none of us where we need to be with God today. Ain't none of us exactly where we need to be. All of us could take a step up today. All of us could take a step forward today. All of us could do better today. And that does not just happen. We just don't wake up one day, Brother Caden, and say, well, I've drawn closer to the Lord. No, it takes a personal desire in your heart. When you say, you know what, I want to draw near. Draw me. By the way, when you draw nigh to God, draw nigh to you, that verse, it's you making the first step. The desire that summoned, watch this, first of all, it was a prompted desire. It was prompted by Naomi. Ruth didn't come up with it. Naomi said, hearest thou not my daughter? She said, you need to go get with that kinsman. You need to get to know Boaz better. You need to get in his presence. You need to get around him. And can I say this? The Holy Spirit of God will begin to speak to my heart and say, don't you want to draw closer to him? Don't you want to know him better? Don't you want to love him more? Don't you want to serve him more? By the way, you can serve him better when you love him better. Amen. When I worked at Chick-fil-A, I used to have to clean up messes and I hated doing it. When they tell you it's their pleasure to clean up the drink that your four-year-old spilled, it's a lie. Because I was that one. I didn't like it. But you know, I didn't like doing it. But you know, if my little boy cleans something, I don't mind cleaning it, but spill something, I don't mind cleaning it up because he's mine. Because I love him. I don't mind serving him. I don't mind trying to help because he's mine. And can I say this? You'll love him more. You'll serve him more when you love him more. Yes, sir. It was a prompted desire. Why was it a prompted desire? Well, see, Naomi knew Boaz's ability. He's a kinsman redeemer. But Naomi understood that everything that Ruth needed, Boaz had. Are you seeing the typology? The Holy Spirit of God knows every need that I have in my life. That Jesus Christ, God the Father, is capable of meeting every need that I have. Knew his ability. Naomi also knew Boaz's affection because Ruth had told Naomi everything that Boaz had done for her. Boaz didn't do that for every stranger coming in the field. He had a special love for her. And can I say this? The Holy Spirit knows that Jesus, and I hope that Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit don't scare you. He is the third person of the Godhead. That one lives on the inside of us. And He knows that He conveys the love of Christ. In fact, the Holy Spirit is what connects me to that other world. Amen. Knew his ability, knew his affection. But Naomi also knew his address. She said, I'll tell you where you can find him. Said, you can find him down there at the threshing floor, at the place of separation. She said, you want to get to know him? Go down that threshing floor where they're separating things. You getting that? You want to know him better? You get to that place where God starts separating. Down there, that threshing floor, they'd bring all that wheat and that barley in, and they would crush it with their feet, and then they'd take a rake of some sort, and they'd throw it up in the air when the wind got to blowing, and it'd separate the chaff from the grain, and the grain, that thing that was real, that thing that was valuable, that thing that would feed families and pay their bills and help their home, it would fall down to the ground. And can I say this? If we want to know him better, we got to get to that place where God can crush us and throw us up in the air and let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow all those things out of our life that he'd not be pleased with, so that the thing that is valuable might be used for his glory and his honor. It was a prompted desire. It was a personal desire. Even though Naomi wanted it for Ruth, Ruth could not get it until Ruth wanted it for Ruth. As a pastor, one of the things I struggle with, Brother Hook, is I see so much potential with people and I want to see them do so much for God, and I preach and I preach and I pray and I pray and I invest and I invest, but I can do that till I'm blue in the face. But if that person doesn't want it, it ain't going to happen.
Amen.
Now that doesn't negate my responsibility to promote it. But praise God, I'm going to break my ankle right here in front of you, God, everybody. It's your fault. I don't know why, but it's your fault somehow. What was I saying before I just about broke my neck? Oh, I can't designate righteousness. We got laws. We got convictions. We got standards. But I can't make you live right.
Amen.
You got to have a personal desire in your heart. I can preach all I want to. Drawn out of God. Drawn out of God. Drawn out of God. But until you personally make up your mind that you want to draw out of God, you never will. I've sat across the desk to more than one individual and laid out everything before them and told them, here's what you need to do, and here's how you need to handle it, and here's how you need to get closer to God. And they look at me and it's like looking into an empty house.
Yeah.
There's no desire. And I realize I've done my part. That's all I can do. God's going to have to light a fire and do something.
Yeah.
It was a person. It was, watch this, this personal desire. In Ruth's life, it ought to, the personal desire was prompted in Ruth because of Boaz's character. Having not charged young men, they shouldn't touch thee. By Boaz's compassion, she said, why have I found grace in thy sight? By Boaz's comfort, he spoke comfort to her in verse number 13 of chapter 2. And Boaz's care in her life, he's dropping handfuls of purpose. In other words, she saw how good Boaz had been to her, and she said, I want to know him better. And can I say this? When we look around and see how good God has been to us, how he's had compassion on us, how he's a God of character, how he cares for us, how he comforts us, it ought to cause us to want to draw closer to him. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord. Prompted desire, personal desire, a pursued desire. She was having to put time and effort in drawing closer to Boaz. This wouldn't happen in one night. It would take effort. There's a desire that summoned. Number two, in verse number 3, we find the duty to sanctification. Watch this now. She did not deserve what she needed from Boaz, but she did qualify for what she needed from Boaz. I don't deserve anything God gives me, but I qualify for it. Because I'm one of his. I'm his child. We talked about that in Sunday school. Now, Naomi gives her some instructions in verse 3. Remember, Naomi's a type of the Spirit. She said, all right, Ruth, if you want to get where Boaz is and know him better, here's what you got to do. Number one, wash thyself. So that is the cleansing of the filth. Now think about this. I'm not trying to be crude or rude, but she's been out laboring in a field, working around dirt, working around grain, working around... She's dirty. You can't work outside where the dust is and not get it on you. She's got earth all over her. Can I put all this? She's got the world all over her. And before she can get to where Boaz is, Naomi looks at her and says, you better go and get that world off of you. Get that earth off of you. Get all that dirt. Get out from under your fingernails. Get it out. Get it out from under. Ain't no man want a girl looking like that. Go clean up. And can I say this? That's not necessarily sound. I wrote this down. Ephesians 5:27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's my salvation. But verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That's sanctification. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. That's glorification. Amen. So how do I get the world off of me? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Washing of the word. Yes, I let that word get that off of me. I let the word get that, clean me up and wash me off and make me. It is the washing of the word. Amen. When I got saved, I got washed in the blood. When I get sanctified, I get washed by the Word. Is that right? Is that right, pastors? Is that right, preachers? Amen. So we find there is a cleansing of the filth. But then he said, only wash thyself. Then she said, and anoint thee. There's a consecration for fellowship. This anointing was not just a dab behind the ears like perfume. Maybe a dab here and a dab there. And maybe that's not what it was. It was literally that anointing that they would anoint kings, that she would pour on top of her head, and she would work it into her hair, into her scalp. It wouldn't make it was not something we think about that now. We're like, wouldn't that be nasty? It was the custom of the day. It's what those ladies done, because they don't have deodorant in those days. They didn't have right guard to put under their left arm. Somebody say amen right there. And so they had that. They'd pour that perfume on their head. They'd work it, and it would run down off their head, on their face, and they get on their hands, and they would cover their entire body with that perfume, that anointing. Can I say this? That speaks of the importance of the Spirit-filled life. Yes, sir. Watch where it started. It started at the head. Can I say this? The first battle that you have to face in a Spirit-filled life is the battle for your mind. You got to get your mind. And then, I'm just using common logic, once it gets to your head, it'll go to your eyes. That's your perception. And then your nose, that's your discernment. Your mouth, that's your speech. Your ears, that's what you hear. Then it gets on your hands, that speaks to your labor. Your feet, your legs, that's where your direction. And she had to cover her entire body with that so that she wouldn't smell like where she had been. Could it be when we get into the place of prayer, we've not washed, we've not anointed, and we begin to pray, and God says, where have you been? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. So there's a cleansing of the filth. There's a consecration for fellowship. But then watch this. And she said, and put thy raiment upon thee. There's a covering of the flesh. Yeah. Now, many writers believe that this was her wedding garment that she was putting on. She's putting on her wedding dress. Yeah. Now, let me go ahead and handle this. What Ruth is doing here when she goes down, it is nothing immoral. It is nothing dirty. And somebody said, well, it looks like it's bad. That's because we have carnal minds, and our minds always go the wrong direction. It is the custom of the day. I wouldn't be crude, but she is not going to perform any immoral act or anything underhanded or anything wrong by any means whatsoever. And one of the ways I know this, that wedding garment, she had a veil. She is completely covered. You can't see any of her flesh. When she's going into the presence of Boaz, Naomi says, make sure he can't see none of your flesh. Yeah. Didn't my Bible say that no flesh should glory in his presence? Yeah. You're not going to get in God's presence if you've got the flesh showing all the time. You have to cover that flesh, clothe that flesh, hide that flesh. Because after she had cleaned up and anointed, I'm not trying to be crude, Ruth was probably a beautiful lady. All this, and now God says, now cover it all up. Yeah. Is that not what God does to us? Clean up, anoint, and he says, all right, now hide yourself. Yeah. So nobody sees you. Because we think, man, I'm cleaned up, I'm anointed up. Now everybody wants to see me now. God says, all right, now cover it all up. Man, in fact, put on a veil. We don't even want to see your face. Amen. Don't that mess us up sometimes? Yeah. But the point is, what she was going to do that night was not about her. It was about him. The desire that summoned, the duty, the sanctification. Number three, and I hasten, watch the directions that were specific in verse 4. And it shall be when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell you what thou shalt do. Once again, there is nothing improper or immoral going on in this text. It is the custom of the day. Watch this. Her perception in verse 3. Naomi tells her to wait until he has eaten and drank. That is not intoxicating beverages. He's not getting drunk. It's talking about that he's worked hard. He's got his harvest in. Now he's ate. He's had a good meal. He's had something to drink. It's not an alcoholic beverage. Somebody say amen right there. God has never condoned the consumption of alcoholic beverages. Amen. In other words, he's got his belly full and his heart's glad because he's enjoying the rewards of his labor. It's like when we come in from working a hard day, working out in the yard or something, we come in and drink a nice glass of sweet tea and have a good meal, and we sit down on the couch and we're just relaxed. We feel good, and we feel good about the day. We feel good about what we have accomplished that day. That is what is going on in the text. So there's a perception. Here's what she's going to have to do. If she's going to know when Boaz has ate and drank, she's got to keep her eye on him. She's got to keep her eye on him. She's looking. All right, he's at the table now. All right, and he's getting something to drink. Oh, he's getting up. He's getting up. Can I say this? You want to get where God is and draw closer, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Perception. Then, watch the place. She said, mark the place where he shall lie. She said, you got to know where he's going to be. Well, he's at the threshing floor. Well, that's right. But where is he at in the threshing floor? It's a big place. There's a lot of men. In fact, all the men would sleep there that night to protect the grain. Where will you find Jesus? You'll find him in the pages of Scripture. You'll find him in the place of supplication. And you'll find him in the presence of the sanctuary.
Amen.
Then the process. Uncover his feet and lay thee down. The Bible tells us, and I won't read all the verses for sake of time, she was to come softly. And she was not to let her know. She was to be quiet. She was to come silently. Because as I am reading here in verse number 14, Boaz tells her, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Some people argue whether or not Ruth was even allowed in the threshing floor being a woman. Because that's where the men labored. But watch this now. So if that is true, she had no right to be there. But there was one that welcomed her into that place where she had no right to be.
That's right.
May I remind you, I have no business being in God's presence.
Amen.
I have no business being in His throne room. In fact, in my own self, I have no right to be there. But there is one who does not turn me away.
Amen.
Because He has accepted me and brought me into His fellowship.
Yeah.
That's why the Hebrew writer says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there is the directions, the desire that was summoned, the duty, the sanctification, the directions that were specific. Watch this in verse number 5. I'm almost done. Notice the direct submission. Watch she said in verse number 5. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Watch this. Three things quickly. I'm heading to the close. No objection. She didn't object to one thing that Naomi told her to do. There was no opinion. She didn't say, well, here's how I think we ought to do it. And watch this, and there was no oversight. The Bible said she did all. Why is it that God is putting His Word how we're to draw near to Him? But we object. Well, God, I want to draw near, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get that out of my life. I'm not going to quit that because that's what I like to do. That I deserve that. Or we'll give God our opinion. Well, God, here's what I think. And that's not how it goes. No opinion, no objection, no oversight. She did all. Last of all, there's the delight, the delightful satisfaction. I'm done right here. Verse 7 and 8. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight, the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. Watch this. She had respect. She came softly. She didn't publicize. She didn't walk in there and say, all right, I'm Ruth the Moabitess, and I've come to get closer to Boaz and get to know him more. No more than we should walk in and brag on who we are. I'll tell you right now, I pray for an hour today. I read 10 chapters of my Bible today. You just lost your blessings, what you done. There's nothing wrong with testifying, saying, let me tell you what the Lord showed me in the Scriptures this morning. I took this petition to the Lord today in prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you come in bragging and making it all about you, you've defeated the whole purpose of prayer and communion with God. One of the things when I was on social media that bothered me was these people that put on their status, well, I just prayed for an hour and a half. Why'd you have to put that on social media? Well, I read 10 chapters of my Bible today. Well, that's wonderful. I did too. But I didn't put it all over social media. You know what we do? We do things like that because, well, we want everybody else to be impressed. Man, he prayed that long? He read that much of the Bible? He must be a good Christian. Hey, a Muslim prayed longer yesterday than we all probably did yesterday. Jehovah's Witnesses probably done more yesterday than what we did. And they're not even true. They're false. Quit bragging about what we do and just start bragging about. Hey, I ain't saying not share what God. Here's how to properly do that. Can I show you what the Lord showed me in my Bible reading this morning? Can I share that with you? I took this petition for the Lord in prayer. Would you help me pray about this? Or the Lord answered this prayer for me this week. That's not bragging on you. That's giving God all the glory. Her respect, watch this, her request in verse 9. Verse number 9, she said, he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. By the way, you got to be honest when you go to him.
Yes, sir.
Spread therefore thy skirt over me, over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. That is the equivalent of, will you marry me? You talk about a girl that was desperate to get married. She asked him for he could ask her. Amen. Her request. She requested from Boaz what was on her heart. And then watch this, his response. He said, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter than in the beginning, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses because there's more preaching, but I just want to give you this thought and I'm done. We know there was a near kinsman. We'll preach a message about him later, Lord willing. We know there are several things that had to happen before Ruth was completely redeemed by Boaz. But here's what I loved. He said, all thou requirest of me, I will do.
Yeah. Amen.
Can I say this? When you come to God on those five bases, you're going to move the hand of God in your life.
Yeah.
And you know what you'll find? You'll find satisfaction in your life. You know, here's how I know this. I don't find where Ruth ever went to another threshing floor and went and laid at another man's feet. Because once she got at his feet, she found satisfaction. She found exactly what she needed. Can I say this today? If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you've never been saved, you're looking for peace, you're looking for satisfaction, you're looking in all the wrong places. Because once you go to Jesus and you meet Him for who He is, He'll satisfy. Can anybody else testify to that? He'll satisfy that longing of your soul. But even after you're saved, I've not always been where I need to be with the Lord. I hadn't been where I need to be with the Lord this week. You'll be honest, we've all probably had a day or two where we've not been, you know, living in victory on the mountain, singing victory in Jesus. Being honest with you. But I'm telling you, I know what it's like when the line's clear. You get that? I didn't say I was sinless. But I confessed everything to my best of my knowledge, preacher, I confessed and forsook everything He told me to. And I know what it's like, that feeling in my heart when the line's clear. And I can commune with Him, fellowship with Him. So I said, well, I don't know what that's like. Oh, you're missing out. I'm not talking about an out-of-the-body experience like you see on these TV preachers. All that stuff. I'm talking about when God just flutters in your heart. Somebody will sing a song. I was riding down the road Thursday heading to meeting and a song come on my Pandora and God didn't ask. He just opened the door at 75 miles an hour and got in the car with me.
Yes, sir.
And we just, wasn't nobody else. We just fellowship. Everybody on 40 probably thought I was crazy. I was just singing and waving. They was waving at me too. I don't know. They was waving a little bit different than what I was. I was waving and shouting and enjoying God.
Yeah.
God fluttered in my heart.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes it's not that big, preacher, but sometimes it's just a touch. Sometimes, but I tell you, I desire it.
Amen.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice.
and it spoke of love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Sing with me. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Send that chorus one more time. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, near, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. May God put that sincere desire in our heart. Amen. That we all, today, here's what I'm asking God for. Grace, you come to the piano, please. I'm through preaching. Here's what I'm asking God for everybody in the building today. If God would allow all of us, Brother Mike, just take one step. I ain't saying we get right. I'm just saying, just take one step. Take, and then when we get up in the morning, Brother Richie, take another step. And then throughout our day tomorrow, we take another step. And we take, and by the way, we'll keep taking steps until we step into that city. But one fellow said, I want to get so close to Jesus that when I get to heaven, it's really not a big change. In fact, the only thing that changed is my surroundings. Because I've walked with Him and talked with Him so long. I want to draw closer today. I pray that's your desire. Let's stand together, heads bowed, our eyes closed. I preached about 30 minutes this morning. I appreciate your attention.